It's exactly 60 years since the death of Mohandas Gandhi, India's independence hero, and some of his ashes were scattered today by his descendants in the sea off the Indian city of Mumbai to mark this anniversary. Known as Mahatma, which means great soul, Gandhi was the leader of the Indian nationalist movement against British rule and is widely considered the father of his nation. He was assassinated on this date by a Hindu fanatic in Delhi. During his life, Gandhi developed a doctrine of non-violent protest using mass civil disobedience, which led India to independence and inspired movements for civil rights and freedom across the world. A devout Hindu, Gandhi lived a spiritual life of prayer, fasting and meditation, and has long been revered as the moral conscience of his nation. But 60 years on from his death, how much does the figure of Gandhi live on in today's India? What influence did Christ's message of non-violence have on him? And what can Catholics learn from the example of this much revered leader? Well, to find out the answers, I spoke to Monsignor Felix Machado, the Under-Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, who comes from Mumbai, or Bombay, and who is Archbishop-elect of Nashik in India.
My generation, you know, I'm born in 1948, and so the death of Mahatma Gandhi was something that all the Indian people lived. He was a very charismatic figure, very dynamic, extremely spiritual man, a man who had gone through conversions, and the man who spent literally his life for the country. So all this, as a child, I was brought up in this milieu, as it were. He was presented to us not as someone who died and passed away from our memory, but someone that gave hope to the country. And so that is the key word to emphasize here. He is presented to us Indians as a man who gave hope to the country. And so his memory still lives in everything that India is today.
So Indian school children learn all about his life.
Yes, you have streets named after him, institutions named after him. But I had a very special relationship with an institute that is in Bombay. It's called the Mahatma Gandhi House because that's where he spent most of his time when he was in Bombay, and he was in Bombay very often. We also have several programs, Development of India, that are named after Gandhi, educational institutes, hospitals, social institutes. And so the memory of Gandhi still lives very much. There are films produced, there are books that come out. In every manner, people try to keep Mahatma Gandhi's legacy alive.
Of course, he was perhaps best known for his, shall we say, pioneering. He was a pioneer of the resistance to tyranny through non-violent civil disobedience, and he used this tactic many times. But he also did many other things which perhaps are not so well known, like he led national campaigns for the alleviation of poverty, for the liberation of women, for brotherhood amongst different religions and ethnicities, and for an end to untouchability. In some ways, he was very forward-looking, wasn't he?
Oh, he was a great reformer. He was very progressive in his thinking, a man of great culture, a man of great vision. And the concept of ahimsa, you know, the non-violence, is a very spiritual concept in India. It's the Jain religion, and the Jains are very, very non-violent people in the sense that they give a central value to the concept of non-violence. And Mahatma Gandhi picked up this concept from this religion. So for him, non-violence is a spiritual struggle, as it were, you know. It's not a passive kind of non-violence, as the English word is presented, but it is something very positive, it's something very dynamic. It's a reform movement, not with any political ends, but always with the accompaniment of spiritual forces. Mahatma Gandhi, therefore, not only had this concept of non-violence which he applied in a concrete situation of India, but as you rightly mentioned, his struggle for women to uplift, he was such a reformer that he had to put up fights with the traditionalists of Indian religion, who sometimes would say that infants should be married, that girls should not go to school, that a woman who has lost her husband should be kind of despised. All these things were already taken up by other reformers. But Mahatma Gandhi was like a doyen of these people. You know, he was like the dean of these reformers.
And he spread his net so widely. But you talked there about his spirituality. And of course, when it came to his religious life, he lived a very spiritual and ascetic life of prayer, of fasting and meditation, almost like a monk. So what can Catholics learn from his example, in your view?
Well, I would say it is for the Catholic lay people to learn a lot from Gandhi by being rooted in their own Christian faith, rooted uncompromisingly in their Christian faith, could learn how one can practice one's religion in a very dynamic way, the way Mahatma Gandhi did for his religion, which was Hinduism. The Catholic Church is contributing in India a lot to the country, to the nation building. But there is always a complaint that the lay Catholic people are aloof from politics, for example. And they think that because we want to be religious, we can't involve ourselves in politics. And Mahatma Gandhi said, one who says that politics has nothing to do with religion and that religion has got nothing to do with politics understands neither religion nor politics. I think this is a good way of looking at things for our lay Catholic lay people who, by being rooted in their Catholic faith, as I said, must also take part in healthy politics and try to transform the country from within. Another thing the Catholic people can learn from Gandhi is his commitment, because as a consequence of what he believed to be Hinduism. I think we are more fortunate in that sense. The gospel of Jesus Christ offers us so much inspiration and so much life to commit ourselves to the transformation of society, you know, loving your neighbor as yourself. In fact, Gandhi took all this from the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially from the Sermon on the Mount.
I wanted to ask you there. In fact, he did acknowledge, didn't he, that Christianity had an influence on him?
Oh, very much so. Very explicitly. Gandhi said, I would not be Gandhi without the gospel of Jesus Christ. He deeply loved the person of Jesus. He deeply loved the message of Jesus. And his quotations are really mind-boggling for us Catholics. You know, what he said about the tendency of revenge. People always have, we talk of justice often, thinking that justice means to take revenge, you know. But Mahatma Gandhi had understood what justice really meant according to the biblical message.
So what was the quotation?
And the quotation is, if I try to break tooth, one who has broken my tooth, and if I try to break eye of the one who has broken my eye, doing this, the world will be one day toothless people and the world will be of blind people.
Yes, war or violence is always a defeat for humanity.
Yes, exactly. I think Mahatma Gandhi explicitly acknowledged the value of the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Think are some of the most moving or heroic incidents in his life, which of course was so packed with action and heroic incidents?
You know, Mahatma Gandhi was not a leader who kind of made slogans, who proclaimed things from his palace. He was not a leader who just told people to go and do things and remained himself in hiding, as it were, or protected and safe. But he was there in the struggle with the people. Mahatma Gandhi was on the forefront. He was the first to go in and take the blows that were coming.
And he was also, if I may interrupt, I read that during the partition riots, he was single-handedly trying to stop the two religious groups.
His death is not totally unpredicted death. I mean, he knew the threats and he knew how he was going to die.
It's a sad irony, though, isn't it, that this is an apostle of peace and yet he had to die a violent death.
And who killed him? One of his own. I mean, you know. But I think the nation will one day learn the greatness of this man. There have been movements trying to blur his name and throw mud at his reputation. But I think nothing can stop. In fact, there is a revival now again in India with regard to the teaching of...
And it's also inspired non-violent movements elsewhere in the world. I mean, you can think of Martin Luther King in the US, the civil rights leader, yes, who was assassinated, of course.
Yes, and he called Jesus Christ as the greatest non-violent spiritual leader. Mahatma Gandhi was a Hindu and he professed Hinduism. But as I said, with the special study, liking, and also his encounters with spiritual men, you know, some Anglican priests, some Catholic priests, he even came to Rome.
Did he meet the Pope?
No, he was not. But I'm so delighted to hear that when Pope John Paul II landed in Delhi, one of the first things he did was to go and kneel at the tomb of the Mahatma. And the second time when Pope John Paul II visited Delhi in 1999 for the conclusion of the Asian Synod, once again he went and prayed at the tomb of Mahatma Gandhi. And in his speeches, Pope John Paul II had great admiration for Mahatma Gandhi. So I think, you know, the Catholic Church kind of looks at Mahatma Gandhi as a very honest, sincere, and a good partner in our dialogue with Hindus. You know, this is the Hinduism that Mahatma Gandhi represented is real Hinduism, according to me. And I think such are the leaders that we would like to have as dialogue partners. And I'm sure if Mahatma Gandhi was living today, Pope Benedict XVI would have definitely had very fruitful conversations with persons like this.
That was Monsignor Felix Machado of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue.